Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
There's news this morning about a next generation Moderna vaccine approved in the UK. Dr. Kevin Most is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Doc. What does this mean for us?
Well, Bob, you know, it's interesting. This is the exact vaccine that we're looking to be using here, you know, in about a month and a half. So great that the UK has jumped on top of it a little bit early. It's going to give us a month and a half of exposure to see, you know, how the side effect profile is. We won't see a lot of data on how well it works. But certainly this is kind of groundbreaking that they approved it now. And again, this is the vaccine that, if it works right, would be a once-a-year vaccine, very similar to influenza. So very promising, and we're going to kind of keep our fingers crossed here.
And does this is this effective with the new strains of the virus?
Exactly. If you remember, we talked in the past, this is the vaccine that's going to have not only the original COVID vaccine that we've all been getting, but also the Omicron variant that, you know, wreaked havoc with us for the past year. So this will be full protection for both the original as well as the variant. Now, as long as we don't have another new crazy variant that shows up that's more infectious, this is going to be an excellent vaccine that's going to give us great protection.
What do you make of the new CDC guidelines as far as masking and so forth?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little disappointed personally. I think, you know, coming into the new school year, I would have waited a little bit on this. But certainly they're really going to push this back now into the hands of the public, saying, hey, you're going to have to be a little bit more responsible for your own public health and really monitor your symptoms, test when you need to be appropriate. But it's kind of getting us back to normal. You know, estimates are that about 40% of the United States is already acting as if COVID didn't exist. So certainly it's not earth-shattering by any means. But those of us in the healthcare profession looking at the impact, not on hospitalizations, but more on the workforce and the schools, is probably our biggest concerns here over the next month or two.
In addition to the new Moderna vaccine being approved in the United Kingdom, there's also word about some research they've been doing over there as far as long COVID. And what have we learned from this study, Doctor?
Yeah, you know, when we look at long COVID, the numbers are so small that we have to sit there and try to figure out how are we going to study this. And what they're doing in London is they're breaking them down into three categories: neurologic, so those people with fatigue and brain fog and fatigue; respiratory, so those people who are having lung issues and even some shortness of breath; and then the physical conditions. So what this is going to do, it's going to allow us to do a whole bunch of things. One, it's going to allow us to focus on medications specific for the type of long COVID you have. Two, it's going to allow us to see, is there a genetic variant here? Is there a genetic reason in the person that they ended up with long COVID? What can we do to prevent? And then also, it's going to give us some really good insight as to what our vaccine potentials are in the future based on long COVID with certain comorbidities. So it's great, and you're going to see it here happen in the United States. Right now, we're trying to do this. At Northwestern, we have a long COVID clinic that's broken up like this. But London is the first team who's really doing this, focused, putting them in these buckets to allow for a more deeper research study.
Another question that has come up a lot lately, are the home tests failing with the new variant? How accurate have they been?
No, they've been very accurate. I think what's happening now is people are getting exposed and running to treat right away or to test right away. And really, what you have to wait is about 5 days after you've been exposed for known exposure, and or you have symptoms. And everybody realizes, boy, there's two kits in this box for the testing. And the reason being is that, one, your viral load may not be high enough to test positive on one day, so we ask you to wait 1 to 2 days to test after that. And two, the collection. If you've ever done one, you know, you have to do it properly. So you have to remember, these are not lab technicians doing the test. These are general public. So certainly watch the symptoms, do it appropriately. And if you have symptoms and you've been exposed, forget about the results of the test. Consider yourself positive. But certainly the tests have been very accurate, and we're very pleased with the results.
These new variants that are around now, will they cause symptoms with less of a viral load than we saw at the beginning of the pandemic?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bob. The BA5 right now is causing more upper respiratory and more flu-like illness than it did regular and original COVID that impacted our heart and our brains and, you know, a much bigger issue. And that's just, you know, Darwinism at its finest. The Omicron has figured out, I don't want to kill off my host. I just want to be able to continue to spread. So BA5 has allowed that to happen with more mild symptoms. So certainly we're going to look at this continuing. But as far as the viral load, it's probably going to be comparable. And we know that Paxlovid works well with these individuals. So it's very promising at this point.
Along those lines, one of the questions that came in from a listener for you, Dr. Most. My husband and I are both vaccinated and boosted. I'm double boosted. We went to New York City. He got COVID. He was symptomatic. I then felt obligated to get tested. I'm a nurse practitioner. I was asymptomatic, but tested positive. I now have very mild symptoms, like a mild cold. So am I protected now? We're traveling to Europe in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, she is like got the double protection, right? She's been double boosted and she got Omicron. So she really does have some great protection there. We know that the vaccine does not stop Omicron. Now, it will prevent you from being hospitalized or from very severe illness, but we know that you can get Omicron. That is why some of the CDC changes that are being made have some of us concerned because of that fact. So certainly that individual is going to be in great protection, especially if they're going soon. So they'll still have the good antibodies from her exposure to Omicron that she just tested positive for. And her being asymptomatic has just shown that the vaccine will kind of mute the illness in people who are fully vaccinated.
It's our Monday morning appointment with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. And as everyone knows, one of our favorite topics around here is sleep. And there was a study a while back that's been going around lately, and people are commenting about it, various sleep experts. And Doc, I wanted to get your take on this. Reasons why you wake up tired, how to fix it. Any surprises in this research?
No, not really. You know, sleep health is something that we certainly look at, and we're finding out more and more importance of good sleep health. So the research really not all that surprising, and really it's coming down to, again, people understanding the importance of sleep and doing the things that they can do to maximize their quality of sleep, not necessarily their quantity of sleep. So certainly we know that the health-related issues with hypertension and heart disease, as well as, you know, people that wake up tired and are knocked out for the day and really don't have a very functional day, often because of a poor sleep pattern.
I was reading something from the Cleveland Clinic, pretty good resource, I think you'll agree, and this was about dehydration and sleepiness and fatigue, and some of it may be due to we're not drinking enough water. Do you agree?
Absolutely. You know, when we look at, and there's two ways of looking at dehydration, Bob. One is that certainly we're not drinking enough water, but two, unfortunately, people consume alcohol in the evening prior to going to sleep. Well, a lot of alcohol, you know, is a diuretic, essentially. So you end up dehydrated, even though you think you took in enough fluids. So certainly we know that fluid management makes it easier for a healthy heart, makes for your kidneys to be much healthier. So really, you know, a lot of people will often say, you know what, I don't want to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. Therefore, I'm not going to drink two cups of water, or I'm not going to drink this Gatorade. So certainly you have to remember the inconvenience of getting up versus the long-term health rewards of being well hydrated.
And Mondays are always tough because we go off our schedule on the weekend, and that's something we shouldn't do, at least not get too far away from the weekday schedule, right?
Yeah, especially, you know, individuals like you who and you and your team, you know, that get up as early as they do, and then on the weekend you're like, oh, it's my chance to sleep in. And really, those 2 days can throw you off quite a bit because now Sunday, it's Sunday evening. You're not ready to go to sleep yet because you've changed your sleep pattern. So really, it's not surprising that Monday and Tuesday are days that are really going to impact individuals who have to start their jobs early and really try to take advantage of the weekend so that they can go out and stay out till 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night when they normally would be asleep, knowing they're getting up at 2:30.
There was another study in the news over the weekend, and I got excited about this at first, but now I'm wondering, because this was about how 2 cups of grapes per day could help you live longer. And then I find out that this was partially funded by the California Grape Commission. So is there any useful information in this study?
Well, it's interesting, too, Bob. If you read the study, and it's going to get a little bit of attention, certainly. But it was also done on mice. So we have to understand that, you know, the effects of grapes on mice, and we use mice for a lot of research, so certainly it can. But we know that grapes have a lot of antioxidants in them. Resveratrol, which is a strong antioxidant found in red wine, that's why we say red wine is healthy for you. Certainly what we're showing is that the grapes really have an impact on fatty liver. And that's the part that they're saying, is that it can extend people's lives 4 to 5 years because of the impact of fatty liver, which we have in probably 20%, maybe even 25% of adults as we age. So it'll be very interesting to see how it pans out. But you're right, we ought to look at all research and say two things. One is, who was it done on? And two, who funded the study?
Yeah.
So after it's been peer-reviewed, we'll see what comes out. And, you know, it's probably easier to feed mice grapes than to have them drink wine. So we'll see what that.
We're also hearing a lot and reading about microbiome function lately. And supposedly in this research, they say grapes boost the microbiome function. What is that exactly?
Yeah, everyone has to understand that we have bacteria in our body. We have good, healthy bacteria that live in our body. People think, oh, I want to kill all the bacteria. No, we don't want to do that. You know, even something as simple as people who are lactose intolerant. We have a bacteria that lives in our gut called the lactobacillus. It's a bacteria. And what it does, it allows us to break down complex sugars into simple sugars so that we can absorb them. So we need to have some good bacteria in our body that keeps us healthy. So we know that the microbiome is something that we're really studying quite a bit. People take, you know, yogurt, which is an active infection right there that you're eating. But again, it's bringing that lactobacillus back in. And we're finding out there are other bacteria that are really healthy for our digestive system as well as our mental health. So it'll be very interesting to see as this pans out. Very similar to sleep health in the past. We didn't think much of it. We're starting to get more advanced on what the body can do for itself versus medications that we might give an individual.
It's the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most, who also provides medical directorship for more than 25 PGA Tour events. Do you tell them that you would actually pay them to do that, Doc?
Yeah, it's interesting, Bob. This week I'm very fortunate. I'm calling you from Wilmington, Delaware right now. I'm the medical director for the BMW Championship, and you know, helping back and giving back, Evan Scholars Foundation, Western Golf Association gave me my scholarship to undergrad. So it's one way that I can pay them back. And I really enjoy it. It's a good time out here, and I get to see players and caddies and friends that I only see once a year, and give back a little bit to the foundation. So appreciate it. We'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good to get out of the office now and then. Appreciate it. Talk to you next Monday. Thank you.
You got it. Take care.